The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread." The Gospel of the Lord. I was driving to Little Rock on Tuesday, and I heard a fascinating interview on the BBC with Jackie McCarthy O'Brien. I love listening to the BBC because I hear their British Cockney accent. And this time I heard Jackie's Irish brogue as well. Jackie has an Irish mother and a Jamaican father. She shared how hard it was growing up as a child of color in the small town of Limerick, Ireland, and not being accepted by the people because of her dark skin. When she started playing soccer, she found a new identity, that of a soccer player. Jackie was naturally gifted as an athlete and made the national team for Ireland. She shared at one point in the interview, "I wasn't black enough to be black, and I wasn't white enough to be white. I fell in that lonely place where you do spend a lot of time in your head. What can I do to make this color go away? And Ireland's green jersey was that." And the interviewer cheerfully offered, "Now you don't have to be black or white. You can be green." That interview reminded me of growing up as an Indian with dark skin in Southwest Little Rock, a very white part of town back in the 1980s. I attended St. Teresa's school with German-named kids like Gangloff and Ekman, Beck and Kurzmeyer. It's funny, seeing those white faces all day, I began to think I was a little white kid too. It wasn't until my family visited India that I discovered I look like an Indian. That may seem obvious to you, but I was genuinely surprised. I discovered another surprise when I got older. When I was young, I was brown, but I wanted to be white like my friends. Every spring break now, however, I see exactly the opposite occurring. All the little white boys and girls running to the beach. Why? So they can be brown like me. Everyone wants to have a deep island tan like Father John. We humans really are silly little creatures, never happy with how God made us, always seeking the new you. In the gospel today, Jesus also is seeking a new identity, a new you for the Son of God. Walking and talking with two disciples on the way to Emmaus, Jesus remains disguised and unrecognized, even though these two disciples knew our Lord well. And at what moment does Jesus take off his disguise? We read, "He was made known to them in the breaking of bread." In the breaking of bread. By the way, that phrase, breaking of bread, was first century code language for the Eucharist. In other words, Jesus did not want to be black or white or green. He wanted to be bread. The Eucharist is Jesus' new you. But meditating on the Eucharist not only helps us to know Jesus better, it also helps us to see ourselves and our neighbor better. Mother Teresa often told her nuns that if you cannot see Jesus in the Eucharistic bread, you will not see Jesus in the poorest of the poor. That is why the Missionary of Charity Sisters spend 3 hours of adoration every day before the Blessed Sacrament to train their eyes to see Jesus in the bread so they won't miss him when they see him in the poor, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. In this context, I want to say a word about the hot button topic of the most recent back and forth between our president and our pope. I knew that would perk you up. Now, most people have made up their minds about the war in Iran, our opinions, reinforced by the echo chambers we comfortably inhabit. So I do not intend to try to change your mind. You have probably heard the statements by the Holy Father against the war and the rationale President Trump has forward in favor of the war. But one area where today's gospel can shed some light on this dialogue between president and pontiff is how Leo XIV continues to treat Trump with respect for his office and his person. However, Trump has forgotten Leo XIV's office and his person by insulting him personally. The president's attacks are what are called in Latin ad hominem, meaning directed at the man, at the individual, rather than directed at the issues at hand. In boxing, we call that hitting below the belt. In other words, you can argue and disagree with the substance the war being just or unjust. But you should not attack the person in order to make your point. I only bring up this dialogue between our leaders, we are Americans and Catholics, after all, to illustrate that we can fall into the same blindness as the disciples on the road to Emmaus. How so? In our highly politicized and tribalistic culture, we miss the fact that every person we meet and talk to is a child of God, even the president and the pope. And they must be treated not only with respect, but even reverence. Jackie McCarthy O'Brien ended her search for identity in the green soccer jersey of Ireland. We will only end our search for identity in the Eucharist when we discover Jesus and ourselves in the breaking of the bread. Praised be Jesus Christ.